This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Francisco Martinez Cuello. Educators, students, and parents gathered on the steps of the Alaska State Capitol on Monday, January 23rd, to call for more education funding. KTOO's Katie Anastas reports.
Students waving brightly colored signs stand at the front of the crowd outside the Capitol building. Eighth grader Indy Eckerson says he's feeling the effects of a statewide teacher shortage.
I think our classes are way too crowded. Like, just, we have too many people. I mean, it's fun, but it gets a little too crazy and then you can't really learn.
Tom Claymire is president of NEA Alaska, a statewide union of public school employees. He says state funding is at the root of stalled negotiations with teachers' unions across the state.
Districts want to hire the best and the brightest for their students. They want to offer competitive wage and benefit packages. They're going to attract and retain the best employees. They want to fill vacancies. They want to provide solid health care benefits. And they don't want to cut programs and shutter schools. But they're stuck between a rock and the BSA.
The BSA, or base student allocation, is the amount of money per student school districts get from the state. It hasn't increased substantially since 2017.
BSA!
Last year, the state approved a $30 increase that goes into effect in July. But school leaders like Juneau Superintendent Bridget Weiss say it's not enough to keep up with rising inflation.
We are meeting increased needs with fewer resources every single day. When does the legislature get held accountable for putting us in this impossible situation by not fully funding one of the very most vital aspects of our Alaskan communities?
That's not the only challenge legislators hope to address this session. Juneau Senator Jesse Keel introduced a bill to give teachers the option to pay into a pension.
1086, let's call it $1,100 on the base student allocation. That's a lot of money. That's about $220 million. Are our kids worth it?
Yeah!
You bet they are. I've got your first 15 or 20 million because pensions cost less than the system we have today for retirement.
Toward the end of the rally, Zonta Kahini Middle School music teacher Mike Busey led the group in a song. He says he's hopeful the legislature will substantially increase school funding this year, and that reading and math scores will rise along with it.
Education built the nation, increased the base student allocation, passed this legislative test, and give our kids the best.
In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
Congresswoman Mary Peltola says she's not exactly sure why her online biography shows she attended a Colorado university a year longer than she did.
Well, it's really embarrassing, and I think it's probably my error.
Her congressional biography page shows she attended University of Northern Colorado from 1991 until 1994. So does her biography on the website of the Alaska Legislature, where she served for a decade. But the university says she left in spring 1993. The discrepancy came to light last week because USA Today decided to see if other freshman Congress members lied about their educational background the way New York Congressman George Santos did. The USA Today reporters found one Congress member who didn't accurately describe his graduate degree, and they found Peltola's date discrepancy. Her case is unlike that of Santos. For one, she never pretended to have a college degree, but she says when you're in the public eye, every part of your life is examined.
And I think that's fine. That's as it should be. If you're in public service, that is the cost of service.
Peltola says she assumes she relied on memory and misreported the date back in the 1990s for the Alaska Legislature bio. Then she and others continued to rely on that information. And staying with Alaska's sole representative, Mary Peltola announced Wednesday, January 25th, that she's won a seat on the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. The panel oversees the nation's highways, air travel, and shipping. It also sets policy on pipelines, emergency response, and the Coast Guard. Among the Alaska issues that come up in that committee are a passenger air subsidy called Essential Air Service, icebreaker acquisition, and matters related to the Army Corps of Engineers. Peltola's predecessor, Don Young, was a member of that committee and served as its chairman. Alaska's Board of Game last weekend unanimously decided against a proposal that would have tossed out a requirement for how resident black bear hunters process their kill. Almost every advisory committee in the state came down against the idea, arguing it could make it difficult to manage the population. KRBD's Reagan Miller reports.
There's a lot of information in a black bear skull, which is why almost every advisory committee in the region opposed a proposal to do away with a skull sealing requirement. Sealing refers to the metal tags placed on parts of an animal, in this case the skull of a black bear, which stay in place until the hide has been tanned and the skull boiled. Under the existing regulations, all hunters must seal a black bear skull within 30 days of their kill. The new proposal would have scrapped that rule for resident hunters in most of Southeast, excluding Juneau. The requirement would remain in place for non-residents. Roy Churchwell is a Juneau area biologist for the State Department of Fish and Game. He told the board the current rule benefits research.
For skulls in particular, we gather information from the skull, including the size, we get a tooth to age the animal, and tissue for management and population monitoring. Skull size is used to help monitor for changes in populations and potential overharvest that would be expected if we observed a decrease in the average skull size harvested from an area.
The proposal was authored by an Alaska resident who says it's an undue burden on resident hunters and that enough information can be gathered from the sealed skulls taken by out-of-state hunters. The proposal also says researchers can gather information from factors like the time and place of kill and the sex of the animal. But Churchwell says there's a difference between the bears killed by resident and out-of-state hunters. Churchwell worries about the quality of data if the department were to base its research only on bear skulls from non-residents.
While this proposal suggests that we don't need this information from resident hunters, non-resident and resident hunters have different motivations for harvesting bears and often harvest different size bears because of this.
Almost every Southeast Advisory Committee was against the idea. Michael Duville testified about several proposals on behalf of the Craig Advisory Committee.
They felt valuable data is gathered that helps with management.
Fairbanks-based board member Al Barrett echoed the importance of the information.
And I believe the data is very important in this part of the country to continue to keep collecting.
Board Chair Jerry Burnett guessed that the proposal came from not wanting to seal a part of the animal that wasn't helpful to the hunter.
I'm guessing that people don't want to keep the skull. They don't want to salvage it. They're hunting for meat only, and there's not a lot of meat on the skull.
Board members discussed the proposal for around 10 minutes before they voted against it. The Board of Game meeting started on Friday in Ketchikan and concluded on Monday, a day early. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
This is KYUK News. I'm Francisco Martinez Cuello. Kuyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for News Yuktun coming up.